What is going down, everybody? We're live here for another Mojo Sessions at the 41st National in Chicago, and we are privileged to be joined by Ken Golden from Golden Auctions. He's had a whirlwind couple years, man. It's been fun to watch, and we're a pleasure to have you. How's the National been for you, Ken?
It's been tremendous. It's been different than any other National. It's the first time I've been stopped and asked for selfies. It's the first time I've been stopped and asked for autographs. The guys have a pitch counter right now. It's at 142.
Jeez.
Which is, you know, and considering I've been in meetings and locked down the entire time, but it is amazing to see the passion. It is amazing to see everybody here from the 2018 National to now. In those 3 years, I think the average age of the attendee has gone down by at least 15
100%.
Years.
Yep. And that's exciting to see, because I think we were the younger guys about like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yep.
And now, you know, we were like, hey, what's the future going to be? Now you see so many 20-year-old guys running around. It's like, you know, we've got a long-term future in this hobby. Now, you mentioned you've been to a bunch of Nationals, almost all of them. And you know, everybody talks about the Anaheim being the, you know, most attended National. How does this one compare to the Anaheim National?
I mean, I was at the Anaheim National, and they always talk about that was the start of promo card mania. And, you know, I had classic cards, and we were part of that promo card mania. My promos weren't quite as attractive as everybody else's. I did not know how elaborate they were going to do. I made it up the next year when I brought Shaquille O'Neal to the show. But it's on a Wednesday and Thursday here in Chicago would have been like a Saturday in Anaheim. Okay, so it is so much more traffic. I think they were overcounting. I think they just estimated there are so many more people here, and it's also so much more diverse. At the 91 National, you know, you could pick 5 genres of tables, and everyone fit into one of those pegs.
Right.
Remember, breaking wasn't even a thing back then.
Right.
You know, nobody had podcasts. There wasn't internet. There was no social media. Nobody was walking around with a camera filming. This is beyond. This is the biggest spectacle that I've ever been at in my entire life relating to this business. I mean, people talk about Comic-Con. This, for the first time ever, is our Comic-Con.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was actually talking about it with a couple industry people. Wednesday felt like Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much traffic, so many people walking around where I was like, got that Saturday vibe where I was like, okay, we're breaking down tomorrow. We're breaking down. We're going to go home. And I'm like, this is day one. This is the preview. I mean, what do we expect tomorrow? Tomorrow is going to be absolutely bonkers, right?
I mean, a lot of people who can't take off work, people who fly in out of town, people with their kids want to come, you know, they're going to be here tomorrow. They're flying in tonight or they're driving tonight and they're going to be here tomorrow. It is going to be packed. It's going to have a long line outside the stadium, outside the convention center, I can tell you. Traffic is going to be a nightmare, and I know who's really going to hate us. Everybody who is trying to drive on River Road and get through, because the police are going to be just letting all the walkers go, all the pedestrians go through the crosswalks.
You know, it's great to see, because you go downtown Rosemont and all the restaurants are packed, the bars are packed, the hotels are packed. Like, it's great to see. I mean, we've been really, really just couldn't wait to get out and enjoy an event like this. It's great to see. I feel like we've turned the corner. Don't like to talk about, you know, the pandemic and stuff like that.
Pandy, you got a nickname.
Oh, you're right.
YouTube will pick it up.
If I say it, I'm going to get blocked. But I feel like we've definitely turned the corner. It feels great to just
Absolutely.
Be out and about and back in the industry and just talking to Ken, talking to everybody in the industry. I love it. I'm so excited.
And I got a question. We've been talking about this on The Hype, which we got episode 200 up coming up soon. But you guys got big numbers. I mean, you guys make headlines with these auctions, these huge cards that are going for huge amount of numbers. If you had to predict, and I know this is a hard question, but like, how much money in commerce do you think is happening over the course of this National?
Oh my God. Hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
I think, like, in the room, there is over $1 billion worth of product.
Jeez.
In the bank accounts of the people here, there is probably over $100 billion, because I know some of the people walking around. Okay? So it is nothing that this industry has ever seen before. It is, look, I'll always call it a hobby. It's always been a hobby to me, and I grew up with the hobby, but it is the industry. It is the industry, and we are right now at what is a, you know, some people say, oh God, prices, but this is actually the launch point. I mean, to give you some numbers about the health of the hobby, okay, last year, first 6 months, everybody was locked down. You figure everybody was going to golden auctions, registering to bid. We had that crazy auction a month after Kobe died. We were doing the celebration auction. ESPN was rolling, crawling on ESPN. Golden Auctions has Kobe Bryant tribute auction, money donated to the Kobe Bryant, Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Foundation and the Mambacita Foundation. So we had so many people going to register during February through April. Our first 6 months of 2021, the new users at Golden compared to last year is up 500%.
Jeez.
Wow.
Which is just mind-blowing.
It is.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. That's congrats on the success, man. I mean, we've been following all the stories, and you've been in the headlines, which has been nothing but positivity. Now, you've got a show coming up.
Yes.
We're all excited. All of us know that, you know, all in this hobby, one thing we all help, it helps every one of us out by putting the hobby on display. Yes. Tell us about the show, man.
Sure. So the best news I have is that the show has officially gone under contract.
Nice.
So we are picked up. We are going to start filming in either late September or October. We will be filming for 3 months throughout the fall. They're going to be editing in January and February, and it will be launched in either March or April.
Nice.
What I was going to do, you know, because you know I have a social media following, and I like to let them know first, is I wasn't going to say a word. I was just going to put the logo of the company on my Instagram, and I was told I'm not allowed to do that.
Oh.
Because they want to announce it themselves. They told me that they're, which is like a made, that there will be billboards with my face on it and
wow.
the name of the show. What I will let everybody know, look, you've got 1,000 media companies right now, right? I mean, you've got, you know, True TV, like a yep. reality. You've got these small little streamers.
Right.
You know, some of the, you know, everybody's a streaming company right now, right? You've got major broadcast. When I went into this, there were two or three companies that I would say, I want to be with this network. This would be my number one choice.
Wow.
I got my number one choice.
Congratulations.
So
awesome.
It's going to really, really, really you know, get hopefully tens of millions of viewers from around the world and really put a spotlight. When you have stories, because it's going to be everything. I mean, so it's going to be, you know, like what we did a sizzle reel, which hopefully I'll be able to release soon.
Yeah.
But so we had a guy from Massachusetts, and he drove down to my office, and he was in his 60s, and he was a lifelong Patriot fan. So in 2000, he went out and he bought 4 packs of, you know what's coming, playoff contenders.
Okay. Wow.
And he pulled a championship ticket Tom Brady card.
Wow.
Which was ungraded, which he saved for 20 years, and the guy told him that that's a special card, and if he went to sell it, you know, and Brady started this year, he might be able to get $100 for the card. Okay?
Crazy.
It graded an 8.510.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, $2 million card. So you've got stories like that. You've got people who inherit stuff, find things. You've got the excitement of people breaking and being able really to participate in, like, look, let's face it, it's sports lottery, sports betting, whatever you want
right.
to call it. And then you have people who met Jackie Robinson, and Jackie Robinson gave them an item. Like Jackie Robinson yeah. handed them a bat. Okay, so there's just so many cool stories. I'm going to try and visit as many shops. It's going to be some non-sports stuff, too. We're going to do video games. We're going to do comic books. Really, the whole world, you know, what anybody in this room would collect, it's going to be there. Pokemon, too.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I know. There's a ton of unique collectibles. Now, as far as I know, unless it happened at the show,
mm-hmm.
there's not a 86-87 Jordan Black Label.
Correct.
If you had to predict what a black label Jordan would fetch, I mean, you almost could. You just had the sky's the limit, right?
Yeah, you can. This is the best comparison I would use. Would be the Kobe Bryant,
yeah.
96 Chrome we sold. At the time, a PSA 10 refractor was about 350,000, and we sold the card for $1.85 million, and there were two of them. So if there's only one Black Label Jordan, you know, you have to start at $3 million, I would figure, right?
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's where you have to
minimum.
Start.
Yep.
Could it be a $5 million card?
It could be a $10 million.
Yep. I mean, it could be whatever. Honestly, yeah. It could be whatever the two or three people who want to own the best Jordan, want to get.
I feel like that's going to come at some point, and I'm sure it'll be run through you guys.
Yep.
And it'll be another phenomenal story that is just going to blow everybody away. So.
Absolutely.
So I know you're a busy guy, so we appreciate your time, man. And we don't need to tell people where to follow you, but if you want to tell people where to follow you, that'd be great.
Sure. So personal account, I am at Ken Golden everywhere, at Ken Golden on TikTok, which they set up for me, and
nice.
I did a video, and
nice.
My first video had 400,000 viewers, and my daughter called me. She's
wow.
21. She goes, my best is 254. And I said, I'm not shaking my butt, I'm not showing my boobs, and I'm not dancing, and I had a 500,000 views on my first one.
That's phenomenal.
Instagram, Twitter, all at Ken Golden, of course, at Golden Auctions everywhere, and we just started the YouTube channel at Golden Auctions, so follow that as well.
Awesome, man.
Great.
Well, thanks again for your time.
Thank
we
you for having me, guys.
You. And we'll be following along, and we will be anxiously anticipating that show that comes out.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us, guys.
What's going down, everybody? We're here from the 41st National. We're here with Chris Keller from Top Shelf Breaks. You guys remember our old, and actually, we still use the intro sometimes with the dope beat and the rock kicking in.
Yeah.
This man was responsible for that one.
Yep.
One of the greatest intros that we ever had. So we are privileged to have Chris here. Chris, how's the National been treating you, man?
It is treating me good. And thank you for having me, man.
Definitely.
This is good. Chris, you sound amazing.
Yeah, you know what's? This is a very surreal moment for me because I listen to the show and I'm always like, man, those microphones are dope.
Yeah.
So now I get it direct from the board to my ears.
Yes.
And
so
and
this
plus,
is good.
Like, and your voice literally just sounds well rested.
Yes, not ours.
We're beaten and battered over here.
Yeah.
But you sound amazing, and I'm stoked.
Yeah.
To have you on.
Thank you.
One of my favorite guys in the industry.
Stop.
Yeah,
I know.
One of the nicest
seriously.
Guys.
One
Stop.
Of the nicest guys and
thanks.
A music buff. Every time
that's what we
I,
go down.
Every time
yeah.
I hang out with Chris, we will sit there, maybe have a couple sodas.
That was
here.
So fun.
We'll have
a couple sodas,
and we will get lost in talking about
yeah.
music.
Gin blossoms.
For hours.
You talk about rabbit holes. You
oh,
know,
man.
It's like.
Oh man,
Beastie Boys.
That's what we love, Beastie
Absolutely.
Boys, Gin Blossoms, and you just start. It just goes on and on. That is the beauty
Foo
of
Fighters.
It. Yep,
we gotta have a karaoke night. You do karaoke?
I do some karaoke.
We gotta do that.
Especially,
we gotta mark it down.
We did some in Nashville at the time at the event they have out there, and that's a whole other level doing karaoke though, man. You better be on your game. You cannot do karaoke at 2:30 in the morning in that street down
or
there.
Or with a throat voice like this.
Yes,
absolutely.
So let's talk about Top Shelf Breaks.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's basically talk about when you started. You also have a brick and mortar. We're
going
to go ahead and talk about that and where we can find you.
Okay.
Both website and location. You're here. You're home. This is your home.
I am home. The shop is 30 minutes up Randall Road. I mean, up Route 90.
Okay.
In
okay.
Elgin. We're in Elgin. Illinois, which is a suburb, western suburb of the city. It's directly west of downtown.
Okay.
It's literally, no exaggeration, if you leave this convention and you get on Route 90, you take two turns and you're at the shop. So that's kind of cool.
And it's a new shop, right? You just moved in there.
Bigger, we did.
Bigger location.
It's a bigger location.
Okay.
I had another location in Elgin, but it was kind of clubhousey. It was still a commercial building,
okay.
but it was mixed use. So it was a great place to start to get out of the basements. Actually, that was the second place.
Okay.
The first place was in a place next to the mall that had, like, you know, a little accountant guy had a place next door,
oh,
a
nice.
Dentist. So it was kind of a starter
place.
So you
get place. Your teeth and your taxes done right when you're done with
it. Come buy some cards.
Nice.
Well, I did take packs of cards to the dentist to give to the kids for getting no cavities.
There you go. That's smart. I like that a lot.
So I had that going for me. That was
Very
pretty
cool.
good.
Very cool.
But the new location, I'll tell you what happened. I was getting my car, my oil changed, and it was during COVID. And they said, you got to make schedules and times and stuff. You can't wait here. Because you used to go in, you drop your car off, you wait, you play on your phone, 20 minutes later, you leave. They weren't doing that. So I'm like, all right, man, I'll come back. So I went back the next day or two. Then I was scheduled. And so I dropped the car off, and I went for a walk around the little complex. And I saw the leasing sign in the window. I put my face up, and I'm like, this is literally, I'm getting this place no matter what.
Nice.
This place is mine.
Sweet.
So that's how I found it, just by happenstance. What if there would have been a spot for me that day at the car place?
Yeah.
I
awesome.
Probably wouldn't have found it.
So you know, things all happen for a reason. I know I follow you on Facebook, and I know you have a lot of superstitions with, like, the twos I see and stuff
like that. Yeah, triple twos.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was probably one of those triple two days, right?
It really was. the previous place, when I met the agent that came to show me the place, his phone ended in 222.
Oh, wow.
True story.
There you go.
And I said, well, I guess this is my place also.
It's meant to be.
Meant to be.
Now, when you pull a card, do you make a big deal if it's 222?
I do. I collect them. They'll give them to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Of course, unless it's like, you know, a Patrick Mahomes or something crazy. But yeah, you can have it, Chris. So I collect
Luca. Yeah.
Anything. There's some that are, I don't see too many 2/22s, but sometimes it's a card 22 or like it'll be 12 or it'll be 122 of 199 or of 299.
I think Contenders 1 year was the cracked ice was 22.
I was actually, 23? I was going to say that. I'm like, I think the cracked ice 1 year was actually numbered to 22.
So I'll take all your 222 cards.
Nice.
I got an A-Rod one that it was, what would it be, 222 home runs or something was 222. So I have that sitting up in there.
Nice.
That's just my angel number. I see it a lot. It appears in many weird, strange, crazy places. Kind of lets me know, I think, that I'm on the right path and heading down the wrong road.
I
wrong
like
road
it.
The right
I
road.
Like it. The wrong road.
I'm not going down the wrong road. I'm on the right road.
Exactly. Or we could bring back to music and be like the Old Town Road. By
Here we go. This is how the rabbit holes start.
I know, right? Going all kinds of music talk. So what do you think so far about this National, man? How can you, if you could just sum up the National so far in one word, what would that word be?
That's a good question, man.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah, you're right. I would say it's very surreal.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it's very
perfect.
Surreal to me because we missed out on last year. I love the National. I know you guys do too. You love the people. You're all about the people, really.
Yep.
It's, we got cards too, but really it's about seeing the people and the
Absolutely.
Friends and your social media friends and buddies and stuff. So we missed it last year, and then you're like, well, you know what? We'll get them and kick ass next year. Well, that's right now.
Yep.
We're you know, so
Living
we're here.
The moment.
So I see everybody. I see you guys. You know what it feels like? It's been three months.
It's but weird.
It's been a year and
does,
a half.
It does because, like, we do. I mean, even though we haven't been able to, like, hang out face to face, we do communicate.
Yeah.
We're always talking. We're always running ideas by each other. And that's the thing. Like, the group rate community, mm-hmm. and I say it over and over and over. It's like a family.
It is.
Like we don't really treat it like competitors.
No.
We're family. We run, like I said, run things by each other. We basically, you guys make us better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bar is set and everybody, we're not competitors as much as we are like, man, they're doing a great thing. The bar set higher. I want to be there. I want to.
You guys have been saying that since day one. And thinking of that, here we are 7 years later. My first National was 2014.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. And there's a local distributor in the area, and they called me up and they said, hey, do you want to do the National? And I'm like, holy crap, seriously? They're like, yeah, we have this package. You want to buy it? It's $8,000. And I was new, but I said, I'll do it. And I remember, okay, because I was breaking as a customer for a few years, and there was Mojo Break. You guys were the what I call the Mount Rushmore breakers. You guys figured everything out. I'm serious, and I'm working on
something. We never figured. We saw it.
I'm working on something for the Mount Rushmore breakers, so don't you worry about that.
Sweet.
Okay, so I looked. You figured it out, though, with the how to put the teams on the screen and randomizing and PYTs.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of figured that you guys trailblazed that, among others. And here I am at the National, and my goal when I set out was not to make a lot of money. It was not to open up a whole bunch of cards. It was to get respect from my, what do they call us in the industry, our cohorts, our colleagues.
Peers,
peers.
Yes.
That's really what I set out to do. And I told myself, I see you guys, you know, hanging out together, going to dinners, going to parties, doing live events, and I set a goal to do that. And I figured if I can do that, then everything else should fall into place. So I want to say thank you for having me here because it's the most surreal freaking thing, and I'm not going to cry because I'm sitting with Mojo Break.
Man.
From
we're just
7 years
we're just some
ago.
Regular dudes without that's voices great. At the moment, but but you know that's
you.
And I
it
love,
means
and
a
I
lot.
Love, I love that goal too, because that doesn't make you focus on the money aspect of
right,
it.
Right.
It doesn't make you focus on like your allocations that we know we always have problems
nope.
with. So I like that. It kind of makes you zoned in on just.
I was
keep
zoned
going.
In. I wanted to get to know the people at the manufacturers and at the distributors and get respect and trust from them.
Yeah.
That hey, Top Shelf is they're okay. They get it. I was patient. I didn't come bombarding in, you know, with you guys. I just kind of, you don't even remember probably, but back in the early days of the Summit, we sat in some of those breaker meetings with the distributors and stuff, and I'm just sitting there blown away, like, wow, what am I doing here? This is too surreal. So thanks for having me here. That means a lot.
We've learned so much from you. I mean, your marketing campaigns, and how well your ads look on Twitter and stuff. I mean,
oh, thanks.
I don't do the ads anymore, but when my ads look like fifth grader ads compared to yours. So, you know, yours was really nice. The click it to hit it and all that stuff, right? And the mascot, everything you had going on. So, and then your feed, you know, you just have, you know, a lot of exciting things going
on. That's what's the funniest creativity for me. I like the creativity element of it, and you know, just creating different things that keep me occupied, because quite frankly, I do get kind of bored if it's just like very static environment.
Yeah,
I get it. Stuff going to work on and do, you know.
And we're the same way. Like,
yes, you are.
We don't necessarily like. I love the audio aspect of it. I love the production aspect of it. And we're always trying to switch it up and be like, okay, let's. Our setup is good, but I don't want to be complacent with what we're doing. Right. I want to see what else we can do. And sometimes, like, we come up with ideas, and then it doesn't really work out. Yeah. But at least I feel good that, like, we tried it.
Yeah, like, and that's what you were saying earlier, how everyone around you in the community and the hobby here as breakers makes everybody better.
Yeah.
Because thinking back to that first time, there wasn't big-ass banners. There wasn't really cool, you know, nice stuff. There wasn't a whole lot of that. It was just like you just set up and you opened up cards. And then as the year started progressing, I was like, well, he's got a big banner. I'm going to get one.
Yes.
That's inspiring me. Yep. And it just keeps getting bigger and better and coming up with new stuff.
I actually do got to say that when we first started 2010, there was a handful of us that were doing it. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really know if it was going to take off. But there was, me and Doug looked at each other. We're like, we need to change the culture. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a community. And I'm talking about like the group break community.
Yeah.
The competitors, like everybody was very territorial.
Yeah.
And,
and
I was like, we need to change this.
Yeah.
We need to like work together.
It was.
We need to basically like not be worried that somebody's going to steal a customer.
Yeah.
Or anything
that's
like
what
that.
It was. Yeah.
And I'm like, there's enough. And we talk about this analogy all the time. The pie is big enough for everybody to have a little piece.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you don't need to take the whole pie.
And you can't just have one store in the mall. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, people have to have options, and people do different things. And that's the beauty of it.
Let's change the culture. Let's build a community. Let's bounce ideas off of each other. And let's all get a little piece of the pie.
Yep, exactly.
And the pie is, like you just said, is big enough. That piece of pie works for you to support your family and make a living and have fun doing it. Yep. So,
well, it used to be a small pizza. Now it's like a triple gigantic 20-foot pizza. Everybody's eating that right now, right?
I can attest.
This whole table of pizza.
Yeah, we got lots of those big, giant fair pieces.
Yeah.
When you see that picture I took at the fair, the thing was like this. It was like
6-foot
slice.
Exactly, yeah. Yep, totally.
But I can speak to that because you got to think 7-8 years ago, trying to start this and thinking where I want to go, man, it was intimidating, man. And now today, and I love them, it's great. You can just push a button and go live. You can just go live. I had to sit at nighttime. I couldn't just call you back then and say, excuse me, what is a stream key?
Yes.
How do I get this going? How do I move stuff around on the screen? And how do you get something to scroll? You couldn't do that. I would sit up every night till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, tinkering around with all that stuff.
Yep.
Click, paste, drag. Today, if someone has a question, I could go and say, I saw something you did. What is that from? Where'd you get it? How do you do it?
Exactly.
You know, we'll share it with each other.
Yeah, so. I mean, and remember even, I'm sure you experienced it, just like the way the internet was back then. You'd just drop feet. You'd just be live, and then you're new.
Yeah.
You're new, and then you get those jokers that are like, oh, I'm sure he got the best card.
Oh,
when the feed died, and,
yes.
You know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so the internet's come a long way now, and I don't think we've dropped feed in our new building at all.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure I played between $700 and $800 a month for Ustream at some point back.
Yes.
Oh, God. What is going on here?
Oh, my God.
I remember.
Holy. We were by the hour or something, or monthly hours you're online.
It's by the minute.
For those of you that are new, that are listening, and you're saying, what's Ustream? So we all started on Blog TV.
Yeah.
And that sold to a company that was called YouNow, which the only way you could stay live is if you got votes. So obviously it was not going to work for breaking, because if you're not getting votes and they pull your feet off, you're going to buy it anyways.
Yep.
So it was either Ustream or Breakers TV. So we decided to go to Ustream. We felt like it was a little more professional than the Breakers TV.
And Rogan was on Ustream. So I think that was like...
That was a deciding
factor. Oh, he was?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He started
on Ustream. His live feeds were on there, and then he would upload to YouTube. So, yeah, then we went to Ustream. And then, I think at one point we were paying $6,000 a year.
I remember.
So it's all coming back to you now.
So we we signed an annual contract for $6,000, and I remember telling Doug, I'm all, dude, this is insane.
Yeah.
And they got bought out by Vimeo.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe Vimeo, yeah.
And then, IBM, I think.
And then we try to negotiate, and they're like, okay, you guys were locked into the old price. It's going to be $18,000 a year. And I'm all, no, I didn't like $6,000. I'm all, now it's triple.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got it.
Well, how did we get out of that? Did they change their price structure or something? Or did something else come along? Breakers TV one maybe or something? Or YouTube?
We went to YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah. YouTube.
Well, and I'm sad because there was a moment in time where I think we weren't uploading to YouTube. We were just leaving them there. So there's like a period of time where videos are just gone now. Because I think we didn't pay and our accounts is gone.
You know what? There was another a friend of ours, Sam. He was doing the same thing, and one day he was like, "I lost all my videos."
Yeah.
Sam on YouTube.
Sam
Cardboard.
Sam.
Great guy.
And he's like, "Man," because that's where I kind of first started breaking, and would always have all these ideas and stuff. And I remember going to look, and he goes, "I lost all my videos from the past." Because you're right, they didn't archive them. 30 days or something, they're all gone, and he lost them all.
Right. Another music guy.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You want to, like, you could sit there and talk music with that guy for hours and hours and hours.
I used to ask him to play songs, but he's like, "I can't, dude. I'm going to get YouTubed," you know? So.
Yeah, that was crazy times. Ustream. I'm glad we didn't want to take the leap to YouTube because it's like you get familiar with what you're doing on there. So it took us a little bit of time to actually go to there, and obviously it was the best thing that we did. And but what do you think 10 years from now? Are we all going to be on YouTube still, or is there going to be
something? I think so. I mean, Twitch came along. Twitch is doing great, and I went on Twitch years ago, and what happened was I kept getting booted off because I wasn't playing games. Yeah. So what I did was I found an old YouTube video, and I screenshotted like a video game that was just playing on loop.
Yeah.
And I screenshotted on my main screen down in the corner
to
like skirt the issue that I'm a gamer, but I'm also, I'm opening in cards.
Nice.
I literally did that, and it kept me on Twitch for a while.
Nice.
And then I think they just bypassed everything.
It was like whatever.
Breakers. Why? We can, you know, make money. I do think and wish that they would have more interactive stuff on YouTube like Twitch offers for your listener or for your viewers at home.
Like that, all the tags that you
put in just
stuff.
Different stuff and emojis. And I mean, they do have Super Chat on here, which I think you guys should use. You don't really use a whole lot of that stuff, but that's a good way to do some stuff. But the future, who knows? I mean, there's those guys over there that are doing stuff, the Whatnots in the
Whatnot.
Loops.
Whatnot. We were talking about
Whatnot
that last
in the Loops.
Night.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that, you know, and I think that's kind of what I was leading into, is I think there's going to be a version, maybe YouTube will use it too, where you can actually buy something without leaving the stream. I think that's got to be coming soon, right? Not 10 years, probably in a couple years.
Not faster.
Like, you mean click on the screen to purchase?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
that's what they do. That's what they do. You just go and you buy it, it pops up real time.
Yeah.
The only thing they don't have, and I'm talking to them about it, is they don't have what we're used to, is our XSplit and our OBS. It's on a phone, and I have a feeling we'd all be lost if we just had our phone to break.
Yes.
It's weird. It's different.
And we just started doing Instagram, and we use a phone.
Yeah, that's all you can do. Yeah.
Does that feel strange to you just to have only the phone?
Well, I don't do it.
Okay.
But it would feel strange.
It does.
I have my sound effects, and I want to play a song and music, so I'm going to be lost. Like, what am I doing?
So there's something with the Instagram algorithm that even if you were to get, like, something to send it to Instagram, it wouldn't let you. They only want phones.
Yeah.
They only want content
They're missing the boat there, man. That opens up a whole new world of potential people because...
Maybe they don't want to add the bandwidth or something. I don't know. You know, who knows?
I bet you. We'll come back here in a year, and we'll all be doing OBS and XSplit, which, for the people at home, that's the program we use to stream out.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what the screenshots look like and all that stuff, so...
What would you say in the beginning was your, like, I know you mentioned some of them, but what was your biggest challenge as far as, like, getting breaks to fill?
Man, it was just about trying to find the customers.
Yeah.
That, because back then there was a whole trust element. And like I said, the trust element was with you and Rich and Mojo and all those other guys. So being a new guy, it was like, well, if I buy in this guy's breaks, what if he takes my cards?
Right, exactly.
So that was a big challenge to try. How do you prove to somebody that they just gave you $100 that you're going to ship it to them?
So building that reputation.
That's what it was.
That was the main thing.
And I figured if I can get, you know, the manufacturers behind me, and if I can get some other breakers to kind of support me and realize that it trickles out, and that's what I had to do. And then, of course, be super good at what you're doing and get it out fast. Make sure you don't make mistakes. Like one night I dropped the whole bin with all the cards and had to watch videos for about 8 hours to try and figure out who got what. No joke. It was the worst thing ever.
We've had that happen.
Never made that mistake again. That was early. I was carrying the bins and I mixed up up the sheet or something.
Yes.
I mixed up the sheet, and I'm like, it doesn't look right.
Right.
Why is there a basketball sheet in this football break? Something like this, like 6-7 years ago.
It's a good thing it wasn't like the same sport.
Yeah, yeah, that's the worst. Oh, that's well, I mean, it had multiple other sports, though. Like, did that sheet come in basketball break, go in basketball, too? So you spent a lot of time literally watching the videos one by one to get it right. That's the kind of stuff we did.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember
so the
doing
one
that.
Thing I do love when Chris breaks, and he performs. When the camera's on, you have great, like, voice inflection.
Yeah.
Like, it's like being on stage. And I definitely get that vibe from you. When I watch you break, I'm all,
thanks.
I feel like I'm, it's an event. I'm like a part of it. It's an event. You like, you're excited about it. And I feel that like, that's something that is really, you can't really teach it. Like,
yeah.
You turn it on and you got it. And
I'm in my element there, to be honest
absolutely.
With you. That's you know, people have said that, and thank you, and I'm very humbled by that, but there's a true analogy, like if you talk to an artist, okay, and you talk to a lead singer, what do they always say that they're most comfortable where they're the best at? Like, where do they love to be?
On stage.
It's on stage,
yeah,
and when they're singing.
Yep.
So the world goes on around them, but you can tell real talent, like when you watch those talent shows, and you're interviewing them, and they're just like this kind of a normal person, and then all of a sudden they get on stage and they kind of change.
Right.
That's because they're in their element. That's because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And it's just sometimes people have a thing that they got to find that they're good at, and you just do it. I don't like leaving at night. I don't like leaving the kids and my wife to go in. It's starting to get a little old.
Yep.
But once I get in there and I get going, it's like 5 hours flies by.
Yep.
And I know it's that way for you guys too. You got all these other things going on, family and work and running the business, but when you sit down in your spot and you guys get going, you get in your element.
Yep, exactly.
You
exactly.
know the cards. I'm not the sharpest guy on cards. You guys are basketball whizzes. For me, I'm not a super whiz in hoops, but you get into your element, man. It's fun to hear you guys know every single freaking color and prisms and greens and purples, and I'm like,
Scopes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and then just chatting with your customers too, you know, being able to provide the content, talking about their family or talking about what they got or talking about the sport that's going on, you know.
I think that's lacking a little bit, and since we're talking very candidly, I think there's an element where people should focus more on your chat and your people, man. That's what I'd love to do. The cards to me are secondary. Okay, I'm not. They're awesome, but the look. I'm just naturally sitting here trying to look what cards hits I got here. You know, just it's fun to talk to the chat and see what they're doing and what's going on in their life.
These are now allocated.
I know. I was trying
they're
to
no
break
penny
these cards.
They're dime sleeves. But yeah, you reminded me of did you see that TikTok video of that guy that says this is how breakers eat, and it's like a Pop-Tart, and they're like,
oh yeah, I did Pop-Tart breaks 7 years ago.
Did you know?
Yes, because I couldn't feel
ahead of the time.
I couldn't feel breaks, and my buddy Carter, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get some freaking Pop-Tarts, dude.
I love Pop-Tarts.
And we went and I opened up Pop-Tarts and I was like,
strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon?
Yeah, it's brown sugar cinnamon. Which one's in it? It was in the
slow rolling it.
Yeah, I'm going to find that video because I literally did that. Because we couldn't fill breaks and we would at the end of the night, but it was like, what are we going to do for the next 2 or 3 hours? And I'm getting some freaking Pop-Tarts.
I want a Pop-Tart now. Brown sugar cinnamon is the best.
Actually, you know what?
With butter. You put butter on them?
Super.
Butter? What?
You don't put butter on
the top?
Yeah, you put it in the toaster. When it comes out, you put butter on top of that brown cinnamon
Have you heard of this, Dan?
No, I have not, and I'm going to say the brown sugar cinnamon, the most underrated Pop-Tart on the market, 100%. Butter,
but
probably.
That's the OG, though.
But I actually prefer it just out of the package, room temperature.
Mm.
I don't. No, I will.
If I have to, but.
Dude,
if I had a toaster next to me,
will you put butter on it next time?
I'm gonna try it. I actually haven't had a Pop-Tart in like 5 years.
Get some, put
I used
some
to
butter.
Live on Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I need a Pop-Tart right now.
I'm Pennsylvania.
I would probably take a box of Pop-Tarts.
Uber Eats, just have them stop and bring
you
some.
Exactly. Stop at 7-Eleven.
That's a Pennsylvania Dutch thing, by the way. Putting butter on basically everything.
Wow.
So that's,
okay.
That's where I get that from.
Doug actually likes cheese on everything.
Yes.
It does not matter what it is. Cheese on everything.
I'll actually have the deli cheese in the fridge and just grab a slice if I get a little, you know, get a little hungry. I'm like, I'll just grab some pepper jack.
You got some Tillamook up in that mother?
Yes.
In that town?
Yes, extra creamy Tillamook cheddar.
I like the blocks of cheese as we head down the road of cheese chat.
Yes.
I like the blocks.
I eat it by the block.
And you cut the blocks off with some pretzels and mustard.
Yeah, yep.
Man, I'm hungry.
Dude.
That's great.
I'm hungry.
I can go for cheese and Pop-Tarts right now.
Yes.
That sounds like a delicious lunch.
Here's a challenge. I just came up with one. You're going to put cheese on top of that Pop-Tart with butter, and you're going to tweet it out.
There we go.
It's Pop-Tart
challenge.
You got to watch for it.
I don't know
if retweet to win.
Right.
I don't know if I can do cheese, brown cinnamon, Pop-Tart. That sounds like a lot going on.
It's a dare.
That's a dare.
I'm going to try. I'm going to have to do it.
It's a dare.
Bring us back in.
So,
reel us back in.
All right. So, great tangent right there. Absolutely amazing. And we're going to close.
That's what we're all about. We almost called the show The Tangent.
That's
before it was
good.
Called The Hype.
Well, guess what my new show is going to be called?
The Tangent?
The Tangent. I told you we work together.
Nice.
I think I'm going to start.
We're synced up.
Fly by the seat of your pants breaks.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Yes. That's FSOP. Fly seat of pants.
Yes.
FSOP podcast.
Hashtag.
Coming.
Hashtag.
There you go. So, we're going to switch it up. We're going to talk about music. We're moving away from Pop-Tarts, moving away from cheese.
Okay.
All the comments on YouTube right now are like, I tuned in for Car Talk.
So, sorry. name the band that you first heard, mm-hmm. and you were like, they're going to be huge. When you heard them, and you're just like, they're going to be a huge band. And
I do remember, because my background in history was working with those new artists. I specifically remember, I have a weird brain, sitting in the meetings with the record companies. They would come in and sit down with us, and back then you had these things called CDs.
Yes.
So they would play you this CD because they were in
what
control of it. They had it. Radio didn't have it. Nobody had it yet. It was super tight. So they would come and sit down with us, and they would play it. And there's a few that stand out. One of them was when I heard Kid Rock, Ba With The Ba, for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I was like, this MF-er right here. So what I had a little trick that I did, because our job was to get it promoted and get it out to radio. So when I was in the office, I had a little trick. I have this really good ear of hits. So I would play that song or band over on repeat. Not like 10 times throughout the day. I would just put it on and put it on repeat and make sure everybody in the whole office heard it. What's Chris listening to? Ba With The Ba was one of them. Natalie Imbruglia, Torn. I remember sitting at the table
when
that came on. See, I get goosebumps. Yeah. Look, I'm thinking about the middle part when that bridge comes on. Yeah. And Linkin Park, when I was in L.A., they did a showcase at the Key Club or one of those on Sunset there. And it was with Warner Brothers. They had just signed them. And there's conventions like this for the music industry.
Yep.
Okay, so we would go to those. It's radio and records. Same exact thing, just the music biz. And there was radio stations saying, we're playing Linkin Park. And so they did the showcase shortly after, dude. And we went to an after party.
That would have been amazing.
And it was incredible. So Linkin Park was definitely the one that we watched take off to the stratosphere.
Yeah. One of my favorite bands.
Yep. By far.
All right. And we're going to switch it up. A band that you thought was going to be huge. That just didn't pan out.
Wow. Iron, what was it? From when you grew up, your band?
Oh, Infernal Rage.
Yeah, man, I was big on those freaking guys. I went I'm playing them all day long. I'm calling radio. Can you get on? And they're like, I don't know, dude.
No, it wasn't. Too much barking in key. Too much barking in key.
Infernal Rage.
Yeah.
Well, we're going on, 20? Is it over 20 years since Infernal Rage was a band?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get back in the studio.
Can I manage you guys? I've done it before. I'll promote you. I'll market you. We're going to do a freaking, see that stage up there?
Yeah.
Why not go old school?
Year.
Okay, let's do it. Make it happen. Infernal Rage live
Infernal
at the
Rage
National 2022,
the
baby. And it's got three twos in it. 2022.
Right. Well, I think that wraps up the show, dude. We had such an amazing time talking about Pop-Tarts, music, the beginning.
Cheese. Thanks for
having me.
And Joe Staley is here. Niner Nation. Thanks, everybody.
All right, guys. Peace.